The Jason and Alexis podcast is brought to you by our friends at Sears Imported Autos, serving four generations of happy, returning customers.
Sears Imported Autos is just 10 minutes west of downtown on 394 in Minnetonka. More information at searsimports.com.
Hey, Jace, did I see you drive by my house in a new car?
You sure did there, Goober. I waved to you in your front lawn.
Nice. I didn't know you were getting a new one. Where did you go, Jason?
I went to Sears Imported Autos, and I really wasn't planning on getting a new car. But I went online, I saw a car, I went in there, and Sue, I love Sue, her service was amazing, and it really was one of those examples of customer service makes a difference. And it's not a surprise to me. They've been in business for over 55 years, serving not one, not two, not three, four Lex and Dawn, four generations of happy customers, and now I'm one of them. They were named best of the best for Mercedes for 2018 and 2019. I mean, it is really where, as they say, quality meets affordability. The selection of their certified pre-owned vehicles will help you find like a dream car at the price you want. So if you're going to get a car, Dawn or Lex, Sears Imported Autos. Where are they again, Lex?
Sears Imported Autos is just 10 minutes west of downtown on 394 in Minnetonka.
More information at searsimports.com.
And when you walk into Sears Imported Autos, make sure you say you heard about them from Jace. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 8 o'clock and final hour of Jason and Alexis in the morning. I'm My Talk World 7-1, everything entertainment, everything turkey hunting.
I'm Jace.
Don't you bow an arrow?
What? No, I don't know how to. I don't know archery. I'm Jace with Lex, Dawn, and Kenny.
Robin Hood. You wear the green tights?
I do.
Hot.
I wear them one size smaller, so it shows everything. Uh-huh.
You don't like to breathe?
No, I don't like to breathe. No, it's overrated.
You've got mail.
Let's start. I posed a question to all of you My Talkers, and you guys responded. We were talking about The Equalizer over there on CBS, starring Alexis's friend, Queen Latifah. And Kim writes, I watched The Equalizer yesterday. A little cheesy, but I liked it. Love Queen Latifah. Tina, I have seen two episodes, and it's actually very good, suspenseful, and a good cast. Jamie Bly writes, Equalizer is great, and that is supported by Bad Dad, who said, I loved The Equalizer. And a shout out to one of our faithful My Talkers, Justin. Justin has just discovered that he can stream us on his HomePod Mini. He turns our show on. Yeah, he uses our app on his iPhone and then puts it on his, he throws it over to the HomePod. And it's, our voices are all over his house. Hello, Justin. Justin, Justin. Anyway.
Hey, Justin. Hey.
We're going to start with Kenny, though. During the commercial break, you My Talkers didn't hear this, but Kenny, I guess, watched something that may be surprising, it may be shocking, it may be delightful. Oh. We don't know.
But don't get your hopes up.
Okay, we're going to give Kenny the floor here. Kenny, what's going on?
Sitting there going through the channels, watching, doing a crossword puzzle, trying to find something to keep on in the background. The roommate keeps saying every 5 minutes, don't you have to finish watching The Graduate? Don't you have to finish? Graduate. And as I'm going through the channels, I discover something, Jason, that you have watched and you highly recommend and you think is really good. And I'm wondering if we can still be friends because I discovered I love A Mama's Boy.
Oh!
You love it.
Now,
that is so good.
Contest time. How long did Kenny last?
30 seconds.
Okay, 30 seconds. Dawn, how long did Kenny last?
Oh, gosh. How about 15 seconds?
I say 4 minutes.
Lex, you are the champion.
Wow, 30 seconds. I didn't last about that long, to, Kenny.
I came upon it between while they were switching from one character to another character, and the last thing I heard this lady say is, "I think you're trying to poison me." And she was talking to the guy's wife or girlfriend or whatever it was.
Oh no.
And of course the girlfriend gives a look to the camera like, "What well, this be maybe. Crazy."
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, that's provocative. I could probably watch that. But then they shifted right into some dude shooting hoops with his mom, and it was so creepy and gross and made my skin crawl that it was secondhand embarrassment that forced me to change the channel. I could not take it. It made me so uncomfortable.
Do you mean this conversation?
Two marriages that you had that didn't pan out the way that you planned, honestly, not to be a jerk, but honestly, they didn't. But it's like at the same time, I never felt like this about anybody else the way I did with Steph.
I think you're just like rushing into things. 26 is still a baby.
But I'm not that young, though. I graduated from college like 5 years ago. Like, I'm not that young. What is it about Steph that you don't like?
Before you lived with her, you called me every night to say goodnight. Now you do almost every night, but not all the time.
All right.
And now you've started skiing. You never skied.
I always played basketball.
Because nobody skis when they get older.
What do you mean no one skis when they get older? Half the people on the mountain are older. You don't even know what you're talking about. You've never been.
When you ski, you're supposed to start when you're little. It's dangerous. And I don't like those pictures you send me on the ski lift with the mountain in the background. That gives me heart palpitations.
I need something to do in the winter. That's fun. Right. I'm an athlete.
Playing basketball.
Yo, but I
call your mother.
Okay, but
I will come meet you here. We will play basketball. There you go.
After my father passed.
There's no talking in base basketball.
Oh my god. Don't talk. What?
I'm gonna lay something on you right here.
Oh no, I'm not done. Something. Hold on a minute.
Okay. Is that the best for me at this moment right now, to me, is Stephanie.
Okay, well we'll see. I'll help you figure that out.
Why do I need your help with figuring that out?
Because I'm your mother.
But that's not the answer to everything. That's not always the answer. It's because I'm your mother.
That's the way it should be. I should always be first, okay? If Steph is the one that you end up with, then she could be 1A. But don't forget that I'm 1.
1A.
That's like an outline. So creepy. I'm going to tell you something right here and now. Let's just get this out in the open.
Okay.
And I don't care what anybody thinks about what I'm about to say. She wants to sleep with her son.
Ew!
Colin said this. Oh, Colin right now is brushing his teeth and nodding his head.
Yeah.
Kenny,
is it a Freudian thing?
Kenny is absolutely right and has the kahunas to say it. There is a ribbon. Thank you, Kenny. You and a few other people that have watched this, not all of the mothers, but Kenny is right. Even though people don't like it, there is a ribbon of weird.
Yeah.
Romanticism.
Sexual, yes. Yeah, romanticism is probably a better word. Thank you. I look.
Because she's so incredibly jealous.
Yep.
Of the influence that this girl has.
No, dad is not around in this particular case. Yeah, it's, yes, not all of the moms on the show, but Colin said it about another mom on the show. We're talking I Love a Mama's Boy on TLC, and Kenny is not off, not, well, I mean, he's, you know, off the rocker, but he's not off here. He's not off here.
Yeah, it really became obsessed. Apparent to me, right away.
Yeah.
So he needs to, maybe the son needs to find a daddy for mom, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she needs a distraction because this is super creepy and wrong, and just twisted in every way.
Yeah, well, that's
she threw
the tip
basketball
of
for him and skiing.
That is the tip of the creepy iceberg with that show. There are two other moms on there that are equal, if not more, than she is. So, yep, I love.
Don't you get second?
So
how do you watch it, Jason? Give me a tip.
I love it.
How do I stay with it?
I love it. Like, it cracks me up. I don't, and I get she a lot. I suffer a lot of she. I do not get she on this show. And Colin gets she more than I do. He can't watch Pimple Popper or My Feet Are Killing Me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't watch those either.
Oh, ooh.
But he doesn't get she with this show. And I don't know what it is. I can't wait for season two.
There's got to be a way to gird my loins so I can actually, maybe if I feel pompous and superior, or I act like I've got to do something so I can watch one of these things.
Yeah. You know what, Kenny? I think that's what the trick is to these shows. I think people will watch and they feel better then. That's the other thing that makes me uncomfortable with the shows. It's like, well, I love my kid, but not like that. You know, yes. I might not like, you know, his choice of partner, but I'm not like that.
Yeah,
right. It makes you wonder, like, how serious are they ramping it up for the show? Or are they for real? Do you ask yourself that, too, while you're watching, Jace? This can't be real.
Oh, but some of them are. I do think some of them know that there's a camera in their face.
Yeah.
But some of this is, you know, the internet sleuths have done their work, as, you know, the internet does what the internet does.
Yeah.
And if you look back at the social media footprints for a lot of these guys, their moms are all up in it.
Yeah. And it can be so relatable, too, because you think, oh, I don't want to be that mom. You automatically put yourself in that position.
Yeah.
I
didn't get far enough in to meet the girlfriend of the basketball mom and son. Why would she put up with this?
I don't think she ultimately does. She is the one where, and I'll go to break. I told my mom this, and my mom was like, "Oh hell no!" The mother, the son secretly gave his mom a key to their apartment. She went in there, started cleaning, and the girlfriend had birthday flowers from her family. The mother deemed them dead, threw them away, cut the balloon from the thing, and the girlfriend walks in and is like, "Where are my flowers?" And the mom was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. They look dead. They had been there for days, so I threw them away." And the girlfriend was like, "Wait a minute. How did you get a key to our place? B, why are you touching my things? And C, oh my goodness.
Get out of here."
Yeah.
So, there's no business in there.
No.
Ridiculous. You don't give her a key?
No. So, 8:17, when we come back, everyone. Hey, watch my
about the show. Like,
I love
even
watch
it. I didn't even get to 30 seconds in. I just hear from you guys. I'm like,
I love our show. I Love a Mama's Boy on TLC. When we come back, we love Elizabeth Reese, and she's not creepy. Next. Warning, here comes a cliche, ladies. Your smile is your calling card to the world.
Yeah, even though people can't see our smiles on the radio.
Well, they can sense we're smiling even during your dad jokes, Lex.
Dawn, I don't know if I would categorize that post-joke look as smiling.
Rude!
All jokes aside, your smile is so important, and if you don't like yours for whatever reason, it can be debilitating. It can really affect the quality of your life. And that's why we're so proud to represent Dr. Amy Hughes at Hughes Dental. Dr. Amy has her fantastic virtual smile consults. Here's how it works. You email Dr. Amy with your smile concerns. You can even upload a pic at hughes-dental.com. And Dr. Amy will send you back a private video message detailing an action plan. And here's one of the best things. There's no pressure to buy. She doesn't believe in that stuff. This is your year to change your smile. And yes, here's another cliche, change your life.
And she's the best at cosmetic dentistry. Don't you have a fun nickname for Dr. Amy, Jace?
I sure do. The Yoda of cosmetic dentistry.
Trust her, we do.
Very good Yoda there, Dawn. Contact Dr. Amy and take advantage of her virtual smile consults at hughes-dental.com. And don't forget, Dr. Amy can be your regular dentist too. She's my regular dentist. Again, that's hughes-dental.com.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
J Jason and Alexis in the morning. Welcome back, everyone. It's time to get caught up with the big entertainment stories of the day and the Dirt Alert with Elizabeth Reese. Hello, Elizabeth.
Well, hello. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Woo-hoo. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Thank you for saying it properly, Elizabeth.
I just alternate so that you're not mad at me 1 week and then the girls aren't mad at me the next week, and this is how I do it. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have officially resigned from all royal duties. Buckingham Palace just announced this today. They are, of course, expecting their second child together, and they will no longer serve as working members of the royal family. So here's what the statement says. Following conversations with the Duke, the Queen has written confirming that in stepping away from the work of the royal family, it is not possible to continue with the responsibilities and duties that come with a life of public service. And so Queen Elizabeth II will now redistribute their duties. The statement said, while all are saddened by their decision, the Duke and Duchess remain much loved members of the family. So when this happened, when they first stepped away from the royal family, the Queen agreed to a 12-month review. And they had conversations with Harry and other members of the royal family to kind of figure out what to do. And then over the last year, they just, they want to do their own thing. And they don't want to have to do anything that the palace tells them to do.
I don't blame them.
I don't
you
either.
Know what you
this
do is
good.
Alex. Yeah,
They've
Alexis
got a great
is
deal going yeah. on there. It's not yes. like yeah.
Let them be
Sorry,
free.
Jace, go ahead.
Alexis's saying goes to them. You do you.
You do you.
You do you.
Yeah.
Who, you know. Who cares?
I think so too.
And all this blame on Meghan. I just. He does have free choice here. He
right.
is making this choice as well.
I know. It's like when athletes, you know, don't play well. Like, remember when Tony Romo was dating Jessica Simpson and
yes.
then he didn't play well for the Dallas Cowboys and everybody blamed.
Yes.
They blamed Jessica Simpson for it. You
yeah.
know, I mean, and that happens with my beloved Aaron Rodgers as well. It is like, I can't stand that because it's not the girl's fault that he can't have a relationship and play a game. Then that's his problem. Everybody else has a relationship and does their job too, you know?
Yes.
Like Jason, you seem to be in a really wonderful marriage and you're capable of doing your job on a daily basis.
Most days.
I know. That's how I feel too. That's how I feel too. It is. Boy, have I been stumbling on that teleprompter the last few days, guys. Hurts my heart. You know what it is? It's sleep deprivation. That's what it is. So.
Yes.
I appreciate all the grace that's
not
being given
sleeping.
To me.
No.
Yeah. No. Why would he want to sleep?
So rough.
Life is great. He's like, I'm alive and ready to party. I am looking forward to this Oprah interview with the Sussexes, though. It's a 90-minute interview with Oprah that CBS is going to be airing.
Yes.
When is that coming up? Is
yeah,
it next
when
month?
Is it?
I don't have the exact date.
Digits.
They just had a graphic on CBS this morning. Which,
okay.
By the way, if I may interject a little dirt
Please
alert, a little
do.
Tidbit. Did you guys hear that for the first time in like 30 years, CBS This Morning beat the Today Show?
Listen.
Like,
Whoa.
That's a big, like, CBS has never beaten NBC in 30 years. Now, look, it was only one day, but it's
wow.
still a big deal.
It
yeah.
is a big deal. Yeah, that's a big deal. You know, I think the morning shows like GMA and the Today Show, you know, who banked a lot on their like big crowds and they did these big Friday concert series and all these things. You know, COVID is hard for them to maintain their format with that.
Yep.
And
yes.
And then there's also, I think, a little bit more of a time where people. I'm not a fan of those glitzy morning shows because I like fun all day. But in the morning, I like to just kind of know what's going on and
right.
have it really be calm and just sort of go. I don't want yelling in a crowd. I just need like calm morning. So I watch CBS Here's this morning news. Every day. Yeah. And yep. And I think that's lending itself well to people's mood right now.
And that
yep.
team is gelling. You got a little bit. You got a little bit forever, right, Lex? You got a little bit for everyone. You have Anthony Mason, who's the serious news guy, a capital J journalist. You have Gail, who can touch your heart and does Oprah-esque interviews. And
so
then
good.
You have my secret boyfriend.
Oh, Tony DeCopel.
Okay, Tony DeCopel. I can't say anything more.
His hair's so good.
It would be highly inappropriate. He has great hair. He has great everything.
You know what I like about them too, Jason, and I don't know if you've noticed this, they're none of them are too perfect. Like, they're not so packaged.
Yes.
They're very much...
They're relatable.
They're relatable. They're very much imperfect. I mean, Gail lives Oprah's best friend's life, but we just respect that.
Yeah.
She's a joke.
That's me when Tony DeCoppola's on the screen.
He does have perfect hair. Anyway, his hair is unreal. Guys, I have some news that might disappoint you.
What?
Mr. Big will not be in the Sex and the City reboot.
We're going to shock you. Yeah. Lex, tell her.
We aren't disappointed.
Guys, what? Who are you?
There's been so much said about this relationship back and forth and on and off. We want to see some new stories with her.
They feel like it limits her story.
We'll get the consistency with the other characters. Charlotte may be in the love department.
I don't even know you guys anymore. I don't even know you. Oh my gosh.
So you're disappointed.
I am disappointed. Now, remember, in 2010 sequel, the pair struggled with married life.
Yeah. Okay. The internet is ruining it for Dawn, so we're trying not to. She's going back and rewatching it.
She didn't even hear that. I said it's
I just started season two.
Oh my gosh. You're going to forget everything I said by the time you get to that point.
I didn't even hear anything you just said.
That's really great.
We have broken Elizabeth today.
All right. I'll see if I can come back to you on Monday. Maybe I can heal over the weekend.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. Watch Elizabeth today at 3 on Twin Cities Live. She'll be great on the teleprompter today, right? Elizabeth, when we come back, Force movie reviews. Ugh, The Graduate next.
I can't believe you're making me do this.
Why do we have to talk about that?
Do I have to?
Forced movie reviews.
You forced me to do this.
Welcome back. It is Forced Movie Review Friday, and we are doing a pop culture experiment over the next few months. Are movies that are considered classics, are movies on AFI's 100 Greatest American Films Ever, are they classics? And do we find them entertaining? This week, we are reviewing, the four of us, 1967's The Graduate, directed by Mike Nichols and starring Dustin Hoffman and Anne Bancroft. I will begin today. I watched this yesterday, and I wasn't sure how I would.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And.
Exactly.
Exactly. Keep interrupting.
And exactly.
I went into it a little optimistic. I thought, you know, Jace, give this a chance. It's maybe you have maybe your modern memory of it will be different.
That was planted.
I get it.
Still.
Yeah, I get it. And I thought, you know, maybe give it a chance. So I turned it on, and within a few minutes, I realized, oh, no. My memory of this has not changed. I hate it just as much as I did when I saw it in film class. And
people writing songs that voices never share.
And I thought about all the reasons why. The number one one is, if I hear that song one more time, and if Mike Nichols put that song in the movie and had little jump cuts of music one more time, I was going to shut the TV off in a dramatic fashion. I forgot how often he did that. And the snap zooms. And it was very much visually a movie of its time.
It was artsy.
It was very artsy at the time, and that's fine. That's one of the reasons listed why it's in this list, is because of its visual makeup. Now, the positive. I did like Dustin Hoffman in this, and it's funny. You can almost draw a line from his character in The Graduate to his neurotic character in Tootsie. I can basically see them. I can see them. I can basically see them.
It's the same person.
It's basically the same person, but the college version, and then you can see him as the struggling actor in Tootsie. But the same neurotic tendencies. But that's about it. One more thing. The pop-up people that I forgot were in this, the mayor from Jaws. I was like, oh, he's in here.
Aunt Clara from Bewitched.
Thank you.
Love her.
Yes.
and Mrs. Colby from the Colbys, Catherine Ross. Norman Fell, Mr. Roper. And then the guy from St. Elsewhere and Boy Meets World. I was like, oh, I forgot all of these people were in The Graduate. And the only other thing I liked is the movie poster, because the leg in the movie poster isn't Anne Bancroft. It's Dallas star Linda Gray's leg. And that's all I have to say.
Fun fact.
I didn't know that.
Lexalulu, take it away. Your thoughts on The Graduate?
Oh my gosh, this whole movie, I thought, what the heck? Entire thing. So frustrating to watch.
No one did disturb the sound of silence.
Oh, wasn't even as offensive as the story itself. There's zero chemistry between Ben and Elaine. He is so weird, freaky, stalkery. How did she even deal? Turns out she's the biggest idiot of the whole movie in general. I just, the whole time I'm thinking, oh, this will get a little bit better. Oh, no. And then there's some, the awkwardness is almost laughable. I don't know if that's supposed to be that way, but especially in the beginning, I just hated it all around. The only thing I really liked were the artful camera angles and the different ways in which, you know, they're standing behind shrubbery or the zooming in. And there's one scene that just gave the distance of Anne Bancroft. She's in the corner and their secret has been revealed and it pans out. And then, oh, you just see her in the corner. I think that was very effective.
Ooh, scary.
But if you think that your mom has been raped by this young man, why would you go to his place and then come back again in the middle of the night and ask for a kiss? But there was no chemistry. There's no build up to that. You didn't feel it all. Just
I thought it was a dream sequence, actually, until it continued. Yeah.
Well, and then the bar sequence with the burlesque woman and her boobies. And then I was like all up on
that made no sense.
All up on Catherine Ross's head. I know, but that went on for so long. Her boobs were all up on Catherine Ross's head for like 15 minutes.
Well, we have to describe. She had pasties on, then she had like graduate things that you hang off your graduating cap, you know?
Tassels.
Yeah, tassels. And they were swirling around.
Such
and now
talent.
I want to get some of those and try that myself.
Yes.
I have a friend that can do that. She's a burlesque dancer.
My friend Angela Bowers, Angela Fisher. Yeah, she's fantastic. It does. I'm not making fun of burlesque.
I
love
it.
But that
I'm trying
scene
right
is.
Now.
Are you doing it right now?
I'm trying to see if I can
love
swing it.
Boobies.
Swing it.
Yeah.
Kept the cameras on.
Yeah, maybe just that.
Bummer. Once again, McLean, you've wrecked my day.
Oh, no.
Go eat a cookie.
Yeah.
Hopefully what shortbread. I was going to say the one thing that that was kind of appealing in terms of character development that I don't think we got into as much as it would have been more interesting is Anne Bancroft, her reality. She's bored. She's jealous of her daughter. What is her motivation? And maybe a little deeper into that would have been made this better. I'm not sure. But all in all, I just felt, what a waste of time.
Lex, I wrote down, Lex, why would Mrs. Robinson pick such a... And then I crossed out a whole bunch of expletives that I can't say on the air and just wrote, pick him. Why would she pick him? Right. He's such a mess.
He's creepy and scary, stalkery, and just,
There's nothing Moody. Sexy about him. Like, there's not, no. I mean, from
wishy-washy
the...
Wishy-washy.
Yes. From that first moment, like when she's in his room at his graduation party in the fish tank, it's like, ugh, he's so asexual to me. Anyway, okay, forced movie review. We'll be right back. We're going to have...
Okay, we get it.
We'll be right back, everybody.
Reviews.
You forced me to do this.
The Graduate, 1967, is this week's forced movie review. You've heard from Lex. You've heard from me. We're going to save wild card McLean to last. Kenny, your thoughts that you haven't already shared.
I wrote this down actually before I started watching it, and it remains true to this second. Benjamin Butternuts, or whatever the hell his name is, is the most irritating, sad, pathetic character in the history of cinema. I have never, ever hated a character more, and the fact that Dustin Hoffman played him so well makes me hate Dustin Hoffman. It's cast a dark pall on his entire career for me, and he's been in some really good movies.
Yeah.
Okay, the other thing, there's three good things I picked out about this movie. Number three, I just want to say one word to you. One word. Are you listening? Plastics. I love that line. That was a line that some old dude told to him at a right. party, and it still cracks me up to this day. Number two, Roper is the landlord.
Yes,
that's how he got cast in Three's Company.
Yeah.
He's the landlord. How awesome is that?
Move. I want you to move.
And then the smart one. He saw right through his BS.
Yeah, it was so awesome. And then number one, the real star of this movie, and I mentioned it right away when we started this morning, and it's a shining star, and it's one of the coolest automobiles in the history of automobiles, the Alfa Romeo Spider Duetto that Benjamin Butternuts completely neglects and drives like a hack and lets it get dirty and muddy and mystery. And then at the end, he abandons it on the side of the road like it's an old sneaker or something. Oh, my God, it made me so angry. Really
Hello,
made
darkness,
me angry.
My old friend.
Oh, yeah, and this.
I've come
it's like Quentin Tarantino did the movie or something. Oh, God. I've always hated this movie, and I'll hate it forevermore.
Okay,
there you
here
go.
Here comes the wild card. McClane.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I love this movie. I do. I think this is why. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
because
totally.
I love Mike Nichols. I think Mike Nichols is a great director. He's so diverse. He's done Postcards from the Edge,
The Birdcage,
Closer, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Working Girl, Wit, Primary Colors, Biloxi Blues. I mean, Silkwood, he's great. The thing he's great at, which he's so good in this movie, is that he is so good because he's a theater director. He sees dialogue and scenes like a piece of music. There's a rhythm to it, and it's intoxicating. He can direct actors so well, like that fast-paced dialogue that in the first scene with Mrs. Robinson, back and forth.
In the room,
then it'll come to a screeching halt. There's a scene where he tells his parents that he's going to marry Elaine, and what's so great about it is that it's clipping along, and then you realize at the end of the scene, he has a line that shocks them, and then the toast pops up, and he leaves the room. That was all planned. They had to time that out so that when they put the toast in, it would pop up right at the right time. It's stuff like that that I love, and that's what good theater directors know how to do. And there's so much great imagery, like there's a parade of old people coming out of the hotel and then young people coming in, implying that he's going to be a lot older when he leaves. It's just because of Mike Nichols, I love this film. The plot is kind of crappy. I feel bad for Mrs. Robinson because she's a complicated character. She's very sad. And the only thing we really know is that she's an alcoholic. Right. And we're supposed to, how are we supposed to feel about her? I wish we could see more about her because they just abandon her storyline whenever he falls in love with Elaine. And we're supposed to be rooting for that relationship. I don't root for that relationship. I can't connect to it. I feel bad for Mrs. Robinson. I'm like, so she's the villain? I'm not sure if she really is here because he's stalkery and weird.
Is.
Okay. So I agree with Alexis on that. Yeah. It's a misogynistic view of this relationship, and I wish that they would do a remake actually and explore Mrs. Robinson more, you know, put Nicole Kidman in there or something. So that's what I have to say. I love Mike Nichols, and I think that he directs like he's directing a symphony. The end.
Well, there are some turds, you know, not everything is great.
That's true. Yes, that's true.
I like Mike Nichols. I mean, he directed one of my all-time favorites, which keeps going up on my list every year, and that is The Birdcage. Okay.
Well, we have Holly on the line.
We have, yes, yeah, she's our bird. Yeah. She's like a bird. Holly
what
Roberts.
What do you think, Holly?
Holly, what do you think? Yeah, what do you think of The Graduate?
Cuckoo, ka-choo, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, Holly, are you ready to give us our... What? Go ahead.
Oh, no, never mind. I just said I'm ready, man.
Okay, here's your drum roll.
Got it. I only hear you. But the morning show is going to be going on the ultimate trip. You're watching 2001, A Space Odyssey.
A Space Odyssey?
2001, yeah. A Space Odyssey. Kubrick. Yeah,
we can barely hear you for whatever reason, Holly. I don't know. But so 2001, A Space Odyssey. Love it, Holly. Is this one of your favorites, Hal?
I love this movie, and I am so fascinated to see what you guys think of it.
Great.
Okay, now who has seen this? Lex, have you seen
it? I have, yes.
Has everyone? Dawn?
Yes, yes.
Kenny?
I have not seen this. This is the first movie we've reviewed that I have not seen.
Oh, yes, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I saw it in 1990, so it's been a long time. This, by the way, is from, well, 1 year, we're 1 year forward. That was 67 for The Graduate. This is 1968, and it is number 22 on AFI's list. So,
yes, great pick.
Thank you, Holly.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, sweetie.
I think she fell in the bottom of a well, didn't she?
I know that she was outside for some reason, she said.
Oh, okay. Lex,
I'm glad there's one you haven't seen, Kenny.
Yeah.
That's been assigned.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
We only have like a minute and a half left, but I'm intrigued. Lex has today's Jump the Shark, the person, place, or thing that we are saying, well, we're done with. What is this, Lex?
Okay, so Home Improvement. Did everyone love Home Improvement? I love that show. Tim Allen, Richard Karn, they hosted Tool Time on the show. Well, they're going to be doing a live version of Tool Time on History Channel called Assembly Required. Now, I like the idea of taking different things and refurbishing and making new things, you know, the whole DIY thing. But is this the pair to do it? Just because you play Tim Taylor and Al Borland, should you be hosting Tool Time? Can we give it to real people who are actually doing this?
Yeah.
You play the two guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. I agree.
Thank God we had time for this.
Yeah.
Thank
God. That is the first thing I thought when I saw the ads running for this. Lexi, that's exactly what I thought. Why these two?
Yeah. Why?
Break.
Why these two, Lex? Why?
I don't know. Maybe bring people to the yard? I'm not sure. But it's History Channel. There's still people who... just the concept alone is good enough. Give it to people who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But you can check it out February 23rd if you're interested. History Channel.
Do you think there will be people helping them along? They'll be experts, probably.
I hope so. They didn't really go into that.
But that's a good Jump the Shark. Hello. There's only so that's a one joke. That's a one note joke.
True.
Yep.
That's going to do it for us today and this week. Thanks for listening. If you're a kid that's being bullied, you go out there and be yourself because nobody can tell you're doing it wrong. And Lex, don't you even think about it. My finger is on the jingle bells trigger. Go ahead.
What do you mean? What do you think I'm going to say? You be you. It's finally Friday.